Recording started.
There we are, we're all set. Are you all ready then, Matthew?
If you just give me 10 seconds, I'll just close the door here. Yep, I'm ready now.
Fantastic. Okay. So I should start my... Are you still hammering?
Yep.
Are we all set?
I'm all set now.
Okay, okay. I've got a vehicle driving past. I don't know if you can hear that. I'll get going in a sec. Welcome to this Computer Weekly podcast on the storage and... Hang on a minute. What are we calling this? Voice data. Okay. Welcome to this computerweekly.com podcast on compliance and the... What's podcast on compliance with reference to voice data. Welcome to this computerweekly.com podcast on compliance and voice data. My name's Anthony Adshead, storage editor at computerweekly.com. With me, I've got Matthew Gorge, who is CEO of Visitrust. The first question today, Matthew, is to what compliance requirements are voice recordings subject? Over to you.
Thank you, Anthony. So, first of all, let's have a look at voice systems and voice recording. If you look at voice recording, by and large, what we mean by that is details of the caller, so the call ID, potentially the call duration and the call content, i.e. what was discussed on the call. If you then look at voice systems, you can do a slight difference between systems within call centers and within telcos and unified communication centers within a company. All of them are typically subject to regulations like the FSA, which mandates that some types of calls need to be kept and need to be recorded for compliance purposes, but also the Data Protection Act, the Freedom of Information Act, and if you're taking credit card payments over the phone, obviously the Payment Card Industry Data Security Standard, PCI DSS. So it's important to understand what can go wrong with those voice systems and those voice recordings. There are issues such as toll fraud, where somebody is going to use a premium line and repatriate all of the funds into their own accounts by making fake calls. There's obviously phishing attacks, eavesdropping. There's also telephone denial of service, TDOS, where I'm going to essentially send a lot of requests onto your system, preventing genuine calls from coming through. And also there's issues with IVR systems that might have some flaws, as well as issues with call recording systems, which may or may not be as secure as we should be, and despite all of that, still record the voice messages and the voice conversations. So that's actually creating a fairly unique challenge in terms of storage and security.
Just switching the mute off there. Sorry about that. Thanks, Matthew. The next question is, what are the storage and backup implications of voice recording technology? Over to you again.
So if I look at the two main challenges surrounding storage and backup for voice recording technology, the first one is really storing the right info securely, and the second one is storing the logs pertaining to the voice information that I've actually stored. If you look at storing the right information securely, you obviously need to know what information to store, how to identify it, what not to store, how long you need to store it, and how you dispose of it when you're actually finished with it and you no longer have a legal requirement to keep it. So from a technology perspective, the advice is to work with a vendor that will allow you to identify automatically some type of information during the voice recording, or potentially will allow agents to stop the recording, for instance, when a payment card, to stop the recording when a payment is done by credit card, for instance. It's not necessarily very easy to do. You may need to integrate with other solutions that will actually either be hardware-based or software-based and will integrate with your communication systems. The second thing is to look at securing the access to the solution that's going to store the information. The second thing is to look at solutions that allow you to secure the access to the stored information. So the same way as you would have a firewall to protect a server, you would need to have a specific type of firewalling for your voice systems. And there are some very innovative new technologies such as PBXWall, for instance, which will allow you to do that type of stuff. The second aspect is access to the logs and storing the right logs. If something goes wrong and for legal purposes you need to go back and produce the voice recording, you need to make sure that that voice recording has not been tampered with, that the tracking information is accurate, and that the integrity of the voice recording is beyond any doubt. And the same happens for e-discovery. So again, it's important to work with technology that allows you to tag the information, to access the information the right way, and to make sure that that information is completely kept secure and the integrity of the information is not questionable. So I suppose that in summary, the moral of the story here is that your voice strategy in terms of storage and backup needs to be part of a wider backup and storage strategy, and it also needs to link in very closely with your security strategy, because otherwise you will not manage to meet the compliance requirements of FSA, DPA, PCI, and Freedom of Information.
Thanks, Matthew. That's the end of the podcast. Towards the end there, did you talk about logs? I just didn't quite catch the word.
Yeah, I was saying the logs.
Voice logs. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was it then. Well, thanks, Matthew. That's great. We seem to be getting these down to a fine art in terms of timing and conciseness. Yeah. Have you any ideas for a future one, or should I drop you an email in a week or two?
Yeah, maybe you should drop me an email. I mean, we're doing a lot of work at the moment around, for some reason, with a lot of requests for ISO 27001 because of the transition from the old version to the new version. Maybe there's an angle for storage there. I know we did something around ISO maybe 18 months ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm, we can certainly. So there's a new version, is there? What is that?
The ISO 27001 2013 came out in October. So people are in a transition kind of period. What could be interesting would be to look at the changes within ISO and how that actually impacts. It wouldn't necessarily be hugely different from what we discussed the last time, but it's certainly very topical at the moment.
I'll have a look at that and see what the storage angle might be, and I'll drop you an email and we could talk about doing that one in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that we never looked at, and I don't know if you ever do stuff around that, is we did a podcast with another partner in the US not long ago about the chief security officer and the training they need to have. And within that, we started talking about storage and skills around storage. And, so maybe something around
what does the CSO need to know about storage?
Something around those lines, yeah. What makes
I like that one.
You know, what makes a good IT professional be proficient at storage? You know, what do they need to know about? You know, what are the main compliance mandates? Mm-hmm. How do they actually approach storage? Do they understand that storage goes well beyond just the backup, the immediate backup, mm-hmm. and the paper storage? That kind of stuff, you know?
Okay. Yeah, I quite like the one, what does the CSO need to know about storage? Because, that's a really good topic.
Well, let's try and do that one, Saul.
Okie dokie. I'll send you out an invite in the next few days for that, then.
That's great.
Okay. Thanks then, Mathieu. All the best.
No problem. Thanks, Anthony. Talk to you soon.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Bye.
The Caller.